Welcome to Code Words, a podcast for developers by developers. Join us for an informal coffee chat with code newbies, senior engineers, and more. Wherever you are on your unique coding journey, we've got you covered.
Hi, I hope I find you well. It's me, Rob, and welcome back to another episode of Code Words. My ambition is to go from code newbie to front-end web developer while exploring unique coding stories from people all over the world. My guest on the program today is a software engineer living in the mountains of North Carolina and author of This.Lab's TypeScript for Beginners course. It's Stacey Nolan. Stacey, welcome to the show. How are you?
Great. How about you?
I'm really good, thank you. I just have to mention now, though, it's bonfire night here in the UK when we record this. So if you hear any bangs going off, that's what it is. We love a firework. I don't think anywhere else in the world celebrates Bonfire Night because I don't suppose it's culturally relevant to any other people apart from the English, the British even. But yeah, have you heard about Bonfire Night where you are?
I have not. I was just about to ask, what is that?
Okay, Bonfire Night happened way back when. I can't remember when it was. It was such a long time ago. There was a gunpowder plot to blow up the Houses of Parliament, not how they are now. It was a more low-key affair. The king was in there, and the plan was to put gunpowder in the basement of this parliamentary building and then blow it up because it was a religious terrorism thing. But the way that the king celebrated when the plot was foiled was to encourage people to set off fireworks. So that's where we get it from now, yeah. It's a bit odd, but yeah, it's how we do things here.
I feel like y'all have such a rich history. I mean, the United States is still really young, a really young country. And so I know whenever I go to Europe and you know, visit other countries, I just love hearing about the history and things like that. So that's very interesting. Thanks for sharing.
No problem at all. I did enjoy learning some American history through the Hamilton musical.
I have not seen that. I'm a big musical fan. And then I love Disney and I know Disney Plus has it. So that's one thing that's on my list. I heard nothing but amazing things about it.
Lin-Manuel Miranda is like the convergence point for you then, musicals and Disney, like that's his thing.
yes, absolutely loved Moana as well as the new Mary Poppins, and so
yes.
Some really great music. Yes.
Absolutely. He's doing the Little Mermaid as well soon. That's he's doing the music for that.
I did not know that.
I think he might be in it as well.
That. Yeah. Oh, of course. He's just so talented. I think they call it a triple threat, so definitely he's an amazing person.
I saw In the Heights in the cinema and it was fantastic. It was the first film I saw back in the cinema and it was just so good to have it on screen and big and massive and loud. Yeah, it was all good. So I like to start the show with a feature I call icebreakers. These are just quick fire questions just so we get to know each other a bit better, but I feel like we've done that already. But the questions are here, so we're going to crack on. This one's kind of loaded, but I don't know, I might be wrong on this first question. Star Trek or Star Wars?
Oh, Star Wars, for sure. I love everything about it. Probably more the nostalgia than anything, because it was something my grandmother got me into watching. She was a huge Star Wars fan. And then I was alive when the episode 1, 2, and 3, well, I obviously wasn't alive with episode, what is it? Yeah, 4 through 6. But the newer ones, definitely love them.
I'm not a massive Star Wars fan, but I do have an appreciation for their pop culture place, I suppose. There's one scene, I don't know which one it is, you'll know better than me, but Darth Vader finds out he's killed his wife, and the person, yes, his assistant goes, "It seems in your haste you killed her." And he goes, "No." I just found that quite humorous.
That part, so I was in high school when that's in episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, and I cried hysterically. So Darth Vader is my favorite character. I've got a lot of Darth Vader memorabilia, and that part right there just made me cry, and it broke my heart. So
you know, I got emotional watching Groot in Guardians of the Galaxy wipe a tear off Rocket's face.
Yes.
Like, are you kidding me? Come on. This is heart-wrenching.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Disney in general, I feel like they know how to get, like, you know, get you to feel all the feels. If you have not seen Onward, I cried like a baby in that one,
that's
too.
Really, Luca. The end of Luca got me.
Yes. Oh. Yes.
It's like, this is, they spent all summer together and now they're departing ways. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's not cry too much on the show today. The next question is, Jar Jar Binks, good or bad?
So I love Jar Jar Binks. I know I'm very rare. I'm going to have people just cringing when I say that. He was one of my favorite characters, Misa Jar Jar Binks. but I do believe that he's part of the Sith, you know, ring. I feel like anytime something bad has happened, he was there. So if you're saying good or bad, if he's a likable character or not, love him. Or if you're saying good or bad, Sith versus Jedi, light versus dark, good and evil, I think he is, you know, in the Empire for sure.
Oh, I like how you interpreted that answer. That's a really good answer. I know Jar Jar Binks not from watching Star Wars, but from playing the pod racer game in the arcade where you'd sit in a chair and it was kind of like you were in the pod itself.
Yeah.
That was
yeah.
amazing. The next one, favorite coding snack.
Okay, so this is my favorite snack whenever I'm stressed, which is definitely happens when I'm coding. It's Ritz crackers with a side of sweet tea. So I love tea, but I put sugar in it, and I like to drink sweet tea hot. And so there's something about the like Ritz crackers are like salty and sweet, and then having a hot sweet, you know, tea too. There's something about it. I don't know what, but that's definitely my favorite treat.
Nice. My last guest, she mentioned she likes tea as well. So this is quickly becoming the tea coding club. I'm not really a fan of the fruit teas myself, but I like a peppermint or a green tea or that yeah. kind of thing. But the fruit teas, they're not for me. It's just not for me. The next one.
Yeah.
Next question. Cinema or home theater?
Definitely home theater. I like to prepare all these different snacks. And I feel like going to the cinema, it gets really expensive buying popcorn and snacks. And I feel like you have to have popcorn and chocolate. I like putting chocolate in my popcorn. And like I'll make pizzas and just have like a smorgasbord of all different foods. And then I can wear PJs and curl up with a blanket. So yeah, I just like to be very comfy and just pig out on food.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I paid £20 for Cruella on Disney Plus because I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't want to go to the cinema and see it. It's like, I just want to watch it now at home. Okay. Also, when yeah. you go to the cinema, I'm paying to watch the movie. I don't want to listen to people in the back row talking among themselves. Like, I'm here to see the film. I don't care about your life at the moment, okay? It's the film.
Yeah. Or like seeing their phone lights. Oh, so annoying. Yes.
I don't know how it works in the US, but we have these massive videos now. I think John Boyega, he does a massive little video that goes ahead of the movie telling you to turn your phone off, basically.
We have those too, and it never fails that people still do that. Now, I lived in Austin, Texas for about 5 years, and there was a movie, like cinema, that was called Alamo Drafthouse, and they had their staff like inside the, you know, while you were watching TV or watching a movie, and they'd be like dressed in black. And so if they saw your phone, you got a warning. And then if it happened again, they would kick you out because they were in there just watching, but they were there to serve you a full meal while you watch TV. So you could order burgers and shakes and steaks. It was pretty awesome, you know, getting a full meal while you're watching a movie.
This episode is making me really hungry.
Right?
So we're in the cinema. Who's going to play you in the movie of your life?
Oh my goodness. I feel like I should do this. Okay. So the actress that I would love to play me is actually not alive anymore. I'm a huge Audrey Hepburn fan.
I had a feeling that was coming. I felt yeah. it. Yeah.
So because no one's going to ever play me in a movie, I feel like I could be, you know, my dream, you know, and it'd still be fine. But yes, it would be Audrey Hepburn. Crazy enough, her birthday is May 4th and Star Wars Day is May 4th. Oh. So I always post a picture of Audrey Hepburn holding a lightsaber because I'm like, come on, it's my two favorite things.
That is a good thing to do right there. We'll ask some coding questions now. They're loose coding questions. We'll get into the deep yeah. stuff in a moment, but these ones. Which programming language do you want to learn more about?
Yeah, so the first language I was using was JavaScript, and I'm still really new in the whole like JavaScript realm. I've only been an engineer for 2 years, and there's so much stuff I don't know. So I'm going to say I would love to continue learning JavaScript. I want to learn back end, but I don't know with what. But yeah, I would just say, you know, learning more about JavaScript.
Yeah, me too. That's going to carry on into next year as well, I feel, because this year's nearly over and I've still got lots to learn. So yeah, that's going to continue. Yeah. I'd like to have a look at, I don't know how to say this. It's either SQL or SQL. I want to do some more of that at some point in the future, but not at the moment. I'm all about the front end for now.
Yeah, I always pronounced it SQL, but I heard someone today at my work say SQL. So I don't know what that is. I'm curious.
Well, I used to say Esplanade when in fact it's Esplanade. So I'm the wrong person to ask about that one. So mechanical keyboard or not bothered?
I don't. I use the keyboard. So I work just on my laptop. I don't have an external monitor. I don't have any other accessories. So I just work on my laptop. I need to get a better setup. That's for sure. Because I'm on a Mac and sometimes my Mac keys get stuck. So I need an external keyboard, but I am waiting until after the holidays. So hopefully, you know, I might get some of those for gifts, but we'll see.
Yeah, then you have to arrange an appointment at the Genius Bar for them to have a look at it. Oh, the Genius is an oversell. I once went to the Genius Bar to fix my phone because it wasn't charging. Do you know what they did? They pulled out some fluff from the charging port and then it worked fine.
Oh my goodness.
Now I don't feel like a genius at all. I feel rather stupid, but anyway.
That's a good note. I need to remember that because sometimes my phone never charges and, you know, I turn it off, turn it back on, but I never clean that little port.
There you go. A handy hint right there for you. The last couple of questions, then we'll get into tech. Favorite laptop sticker? Do you have any?
I don't. So I actually collect a lot of stickers. I'm going to say probably my favorite, but I don't have it made into a sticker yet, is the day I got my first like engineering job, my husband went to a designer and was like, look, I would love for you to make a sticker for my wife. So it's me with my computer, with my coding theme kind of behind me. And so I have the SVG and I need to convert it, like get it printed as sticker. So I'm going to say that one's my favorite, even though I don't actually have it yet. I'm going to put it on my laptop.
Oh, that sounds amazing. I can't wait to see that. And finally, that's not the end of the episode, people. We do have more to say. What's your favorite mountain experience in North Carolina?
Oh yeah. So, I really am into hiking and backpacking. And so because we live right near the Appalachian Trail, we have some amazing places to backpack. And so that has been like my favorite. It doesn't matter if I'm, you know, backpacking in a gorge and camping closer to water or on the top of a mountain, you know, just looking out 360 views. But that is definitely my favorite.
That sounds amazing. Yeah, I live in the middle of England, so I have to travel like really far into Scotland or to Wales to get any decent mountains. Yeah, it's really flat here. I live in East Anglia, which it's really, really flat. I mean, it's known for being flat. So, yeah.
It's on my list to visit. So I am 25% Scottish, but my husband is Irish. And then we're big Premier League fans, so we watch Arsenal. So we've been wanting to go, obviously, before, you know, everything has happened. But he's like, I want to wait until they're actually good to go see them live.
Yeah, they're getting better. They had a terrible start to the season. But yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's like an hour away on the train for me. So it's not too far.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
So I was going to say about the mountains. I know this might sound like I'm romanticizing it a bit, but I feel similarities to code when I'm climbing a mountain or hiking up a mountain, because sometimes you just have to keep going. You just have to put that one foot forward. You know it's going to be painful, but you just have to keep doing it and eventually you get to the top. It sounds like I'm romanticizing it a lot there, but that's how I feel about it.
No, I think you're 100% right. There's so many times where, you know, I'm like, oh, this is going to be amazing hike, or this is going to be amazing feature that I'm going to write in code. And you start off really excited. Oh, I can do this. And then either it gets steeper or you start running into bugs and then you're cussing like all the way up there. And you're like, why did I do this? I regret this. Maybe I should just turn back and give up. And then you finally, you can see the finish line and you're like, I'm right there. And then you can look back and just say, I did that. So no, I definitely see a correlation with both.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I haven't done hiking in a while though. I should get back on it. It's been a while. What was the last one I did? It might've been the Brecon Beacons in Wales. But let's talk about your origin story. How did you, or when did you learn to code?
Yeah, so it's a very, I think, a unique story, but we all have unique stories. So my degree is in mass communications. So I worked in nonprofits doing marketing and public relations, and I absolutely hated it. It's nothing wrong with that industry. It was just not anything I was passionate about. My husband was or is a software engineer. And so when I was speaking with him saying, hey, look, I don't like what I do. He's like, look, you're really good at puzzles and solving problems. Have you ever thought about going into tech and doing what I do? And I look at him and I start laughing, because at that point I thought you had to look a certain way or think a certain way. And I was just like, that's, you know, not going to be for me. And so we sat down and he was teaching me HTML and CSS. And I want to say that I loved it right then, boom, perfect. But a little bit of me was self-sabotaging it, and I didn't want to like it. And so I wasn't paying attention to him. And I was just like, no, this is stupid. I don't want to do this. Fast forward a year later, and again, I was just fed up with my job. And I was like, you know what? I want to pick that back up. Like, I never gave it a chance, so let me try it again. And so I had my husband like teach me HTML and CSS again, and I paid attention to it. And I was like, I love this. Like, this is what I want to do. So I just started playing around with it. I tried to build little like one page sites that didn't do anything. It was just, you know, text and, you know, and styling. And I was like, cool, what else can I do with this? So my husband encouraged me to go into JavaScript because I really love the front end, and then React. So I left my job to really teach myself how to code. I hate to say I taught myself, because my husband was so important in that journey. So kind of like what we would do was I would, you know, start coding a project and I would send him pull requests. And so he would review my code. And so I get to learn the best practices too. So that's kind of like my origin story. So a lot of the time we build projects together. So he's a full stack engineer and I'm front end. And so I was never limited to like, oh, I don't know how to work the back end, because he would go ahead and, you know, build the back end for me and I'd work on the front end. So
yeah, you have a site together, don't you?
Yes, we do.
Is it thenolans.io?
That is correct.
Oh, yeah. Look at me doing my research.
So it is a work in progress. I had it just so I can link like three of our favorite projects that we built together. But currently we're working on more about our bios. We're going to have our resumes there. We're going to talk a little bit about our stories and getting into tech. And then we're going to talk about like what technologies we use and show off our code styles. He uses a Nordic theme, and mine is called Noctis Viola. So it's a lot of purples and pastel colors. So yeah, I'm really excited to see it all. We've been working on it. We've got a logo designed for it. So I think it's going to look amazing.
When you look back on the projects you started building way back when, how do you feel about them now? Do you look at them and go, wow, that at the time was really difficult for me, but now it's like, I can't believe I would even stress over that.
Yes. So actually, the very first projects I've ever written, they are on GitHub, but they're private repos because I'm pretty embarrassed about them now. So the first project was, because I'm into hiking, I built a site utilizing the National Parks API. And the things that I have on there are not bad, but it's nothing groundbreaking. And then I built like a Star Wars quiz, and then I built something for Game of Thrones. And it was just very, very basic. So I definitely decided, because I was a little embarrassed, to like have those with private. But even like the iCaddy app and the Munchkin app, there are things that I look back and I'm like, that one feature took me like a month to write, and Now I can knock that out in like, 30 minutes or an hour or something. So yeah, it definitely, it's super funny. I mean, I still have imposter syndrome, but it's important for me to like not compare myself to other engineers, but compare myself to how I was last year. And looking back at my projects is a great example to see how I've grown.
I'm glad you mentioned running your own race, because it's so easy to fall in the trap of, oh, this person did it in 3 months and I haven't done it yet, so I'm not good at this. That's how it used to feel like that for me, but now I'm just trying to be better than I was last year. That's my race, and at the moment I'm doing
Yeah.
that. So that's how I look at it.
Absolutely. I mean, it was very difficult, having my spouse, being an engineer and have had so many years of experience. And when we would, work on projects together, he would get so much done with the back end. And I'm like, I haven't even done, really anything on the front end, and you're already finished. And he's like, well, I've been doing this a lot longer. And so I felt like I didn't belong, and it was so scary. And then, of course, getting my first job, and I just started a new role 2 weeks ago. And of course, the imposter syndrome is back again. But I really tried to keep like a diary or a blog about what I did. And then you could, like I said, you can compare yourself to yourself. But I definitely like kind of reflecting yearly about what you've done and what you've learned.
That's amazing. I agree. I'm not keeping a diary, but I should really do that. I do have it on my portfolio website. I'm going to have one. It's coming soon, but I haven't done it yet. But I'm rebuilding my portfolio at the moment, and when I look back at my old code, it's like, wow, why did I do that? Okay, I should have done this. I should have looked at this. I should have Googled the problem a bit more instead of going, yeah, that'll be okay. But now I've solved a lot of the issues that I had, that I found with myself in that portfolio. They've changed. They've completely changed. Like, one thing was scroll margin top, because I have a fixed nav bar. And then I think I have an absolute menu that comes down on, it translates onto the screen. And then when you click a link, the link would kind of hide underneath the menu, the nav bar menu. So it was a simple line of CSS which fixed it, and it's amazing. So yeah. In my current portfolio, it doesn't do that. So that was one thing I'm really proud of. I'm proud
And
of the
how
small
you like
things.
you'll always yeah no but that's what you've got to do. There was this one bug that when I first started, it took me 5 hours, and of course there was a lot of crying
Can you see my
because I
questions
was
by any chance? I was about to ask you what's your biggest hurdle you've
oh
overcome in learning, but yeah.
well, that's perfect. So I'll go ahead and answer that one. Yeah, so when I was I think it was React, was when I was first learning React, and I'm sitting here, like I said, crying. Because my husband, he's always like, look, you need to be resourceful. And definitely show me what you've tried before you ask for help. And that's definitely helped me in the real world, because if I have to ask a question about a bug or things, I always preface it as, hey, this is what I've done. I've looked at these docs, XYZ. So anyways, my husband's downstairs and I'm upstairs working, and I'm trying to search, but I don't want to bother him because I want to show him, like, look, I've done it. Like, I did this. I'm a big girl. But I never could figure it out, and I'm crying hysterically. And he hears me. He comes up and stares, and he's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I can't solve this bug. I don't know what's wrong. And he's like, why didn't you ask for help? I'm trying to be resourceful. So I'm like, so upset. And that right there, it was one line of code, kid you not, like three little things. And I will never, ever forget that, because I spent hours trying to debug. And yeah, it's pretty embarrassing now. But what I've learned was, it's okay to ask for help, and ask for help sooner rather than later. Because if I would have asked for help, I wouldn't have spent 5 hours on something that was three lines of code. I should have looked at a few resources and then saying, hey, this is what I did, and I still don't know why it's wrong. So definitely learn to ask for help sooner.
Well, I would agree. My ability to Google problems has really improved since I started learning to code. I've even asked Stack Overflow directly to help me, and they have. Like, people want to help you, because the chances are somebody's already experienced the problem you're going through. So yeah, do that. Also, my biggest problems tend to be Emmet, auto-filling words for me or something, or syntax errors, or this one, I've had this one before, where you forget to link your CSS style sheet to your HTML and you're doing everything you can. Like, why is this not working? Then you go back into your HTML. It's like, oh, I didn't link the style sheet.
Yeah. Typos get me every time. So I ended up installing a code spell checker. So even if you do, you know, I'm trying to think, like use a fat, or, you know, it's going to say, oh, like this word doesn't exist. And so you have to add it to your library or whatever, but it has helped me catch so much stuff because I might say color, but then I might misspell it and it say, wait, this is not a word. So it's not perfect, but a big problem of mine has been misspelling things. That's for sure.
Yeah. Back in the early days, it was frustrating for me too, because I was spelling color correctly. not the American way, the Americanization of it. So now I'm just used to how it is. That code is how it, code is code. So yeah, doesn't matter about English, right? Just do it how it is. So has your husband become a sort of mentor to you, and have you sort of mentored him in any way? So
yeah, so this is so funny, because I thought as a junior that I could not teach a senior anything. And so he's definitely been a mentor to me, but he has encouraged me to find other mentors, because it is different for like a woman in tech. And he's like, look, I really encourage you to find other women in tech to have, like, be your mentor. But he's definitely here for me for like more coding questions, or if I have questions about a job specifically, like, it's great. But when I was preparing for the Vistite TypeScript for Beginners course, I mean, he's used TypeScript for a long time, and he was the one that actually taught me TypeScript. But when I was preparing for that course, or, you know, to teach, I did so much research and so much preparation, and I had him listen to it, you know, before I went live. And he's like, wow, I didn't know that about TypeScript. So there have been things that I get really excited when I learn, and I come back and I'm like, hey, I just learned this. And he's like, oh, cool, I actually didn't know that. So it's super funny. So juniors, you can definitely teach, like, you know, more senior people new things. There's always going to be, you know, a new perspective, or, you know, something that you've learned. You know, tech is always changing. So it's really funny that now we always share what we've learned with each other.
That's amazing. Yeah, I think one of my biggest hurdles was overthinking the code, overthinking what I was writing, and trying to outthink the code, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
it seems completely ridiculous looking back on it now, but yeah, I think I stunted my growth there a bit. Anywho, how would you describe TypeScript to a code newbie?
Yeah, so, oh goodness. I'm trying to, like, for a code newbie. So we call it, you know, type checking. So you can, I see, this is where I'm really bad about explaining things, like breaking the components down. But what I would say is like, probably use some of the benefits. So just saying, like, it's just a way to catch bugs from potentially happening. So I like to give an example with JavaScript. You can have, you know, coercion, like type coercion, or, you know, you might have someone trying to add two numbers together, but you mistakenly allowed them to add a text field. So instead of doing 6 + 6, you have 6 + cat. And of course your application could break. And so this library is going to allow you to specify what type those, you know, props or inputs can be. And then you can catch those bugs ahead of time. So if you're supposed to have a number and a number, it'll throw an error and say, oh, wait, you accidentally allowed this to be a number or a string and you specified a number. So it's definitely a tool that I utilize to help me either debug, but also write code quickly. There's so many times when I'm using React and I forget what props I have. And they have this really great VS Code extension for like IntelliSense. So I know what props I have access to with that component. So there's so many benefits. And if you want to learn more about TypeScript, I have a really great course on YouTube. I think it's great, but highly recommended. And there's so many wonderful benefits for TypeScript.
So your TypeScript for Beginners course is in collaboration with this.labs, or did you offer that then did they host it? How did that come about?
Yeah, so I was working with Viscott Labs as an apprentice. So that was my first role as an engineer. They have an amazing program helping women become engineers. So they offer apprenticeship for women in tech. And so while I was on the team there, they really wanted to have me step out of my comfort zone. And that was, for me, talking and giving a class. And so they were like, just think of something you want to teach. And at that point, I was really learning a lot more about TypeScript. And I think the best way to learn is by teaching. And so I was like, look, let me go ahead and, you know, teach a class about TypeScript. And so since I was working with them, you know, it was perfect. I didn't have to do any of the marketing, any of the, you know, promoting it. They did all that for me and I just showed up and taught.
That's amazing. I try to teach someone how to write HTML, and I found it so difficult to put it onto a page, in plain English, to someone who's never done it before. It's so weird learning it and then trying to teach someone. So yeah, kudos to you. I haven't got around to that bit yet, but yeah, well done to you. Now I have to congratulate you on accepting a position as a front-end engineer with TrainUAll. What was the interview process like, and how are you settling in now?
Yeah, so it's a funny story how I got this. I tell people all the time to make connections and to build out a network. That has been how I've gotten every job in the tech industry so far. So I actually did not write a formal application to start. The recruiter at TrainUAll reached out to my husband and had seen if he was interested in a role. And at that point, we were both happy with our jobs and, you know, didn't think anything of it and didn't respond back. But a couple weeks later, the company I was working for had layoffs, and I found myself looking for a job. And he's like, look, there's this great company called TrainUAll. They reached out to me. He's like, are you interested? If so, maybe I can give you like an introduction. So I looked at the company, was like, this looks amazing. And I said, yeah, sure. Like, I'd love to be introduced to you know, the recruiter. Ended up, my husband had two coworkers who had just started working at TrainUAll. And so I got to connect with them and, you know, started the application process with the recruiters. And so they reached out to me and said, hey, your husband actually referred you to this role, FYI. So it was super funny. And then fast forward, I'm in the middle of the interview process, and someone my husband went to high school with, he is still connected with him, started working for that company too. So then I was able to reach out and say, hey, you actually went to high school with my husband. I'd love to get a virtual coffee and learn more about the company. And so, yeah, I mean, like I said, through connections, and even though these were people my husband was connected with, he was able to like introduce me to those people. And, you know, whether or not that was why I had the job, I really don't think it is, but it definitely helped me learn more about the company and then ask specific questions that, you know, I might have felt uncomfortable asking during the hiring process. But the whole interview was amazing. It took me about maybe 4 weeks from that first introduction via my husband to the offer letter. So it conducted of like, you know, having an interview with the recruiter. And then I had, a meeting with two of the engineers on the team, and then a technical interview with like whiteboarding and technical questions. And because I'm on the design system squad working on the design system, I had an interview with four of the designers as well.
You probably do know you work there. So they were voted Best Workplace 2021 by Inc.
It's amazing. And they are located in Arizona, and they've won like a best, you know, place to work in Arizona several times too. It's a wonderful company. And if you're looking for, you know, a new place to work, I highly recommend them. But also like the software is like a training manual. So you can document your company's processes, onboarding, things like that. And it's not just a product you just use. Trainer also like helps, you know, get your company up and running. And so it's an amazing team. And I love that it's a product that they don't just throw their product and say, there you go, work on it yourself. It's, you know, they were really there for you every step of the way too.
So would you say that little connection you had at the beginning with your husband's high school friend, would you say that helped ease you into the company a bit more?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you why. He worked for Disney World in Florida for many, many, many years. And
I'm just seeing him dressed up in Mickey Mouse costumes now. Sorry.
He was not in that role, but I believe he worked in Animal Kingdom, I believe, because I met him at Disney once, and I want to say we were at Animal Kingdom. But anyways, he worked there many years, and he ended up moving to Trainual. And when I had my virtual coffee, and I was talking with him, and saying, what's like your favorite thing? And he's like, the culture. He said, this is the best company culture I've had in my life. And he worked for Disney, and I'm a huge Disney fan. I love Disney World. And I was just like, wow, you worked at the happiest place on earth where dreams come true. And you're saying Trainual is the best place to work. And so that really sold it for me. And then hearing, you know, a bunch of other people too, like I said, I always try to reach out to people on the team and say, hey, like, you know, love to do a virtual coffee and see how you like working here. And everyone kept talking about the culture. And they had 5-star reviews on Glassdoor, perfect score in Glassdoor. It's amazing. And they all say the same thing about how amazing the culture is.
You know, I'd never thought about approaching someone to do a virtual coffee. That sounds great. I think I should start doing that because it'd be really great to talk to more people. I mean, that's what I found about the podcast. It's a great way of meeting people and talking about tech, because I just kind of observed in the tech community on Twitter. But now to be actually speaking about what I want to do and to people that are already in the industry is great for me personally, and hopefully for people listening out there too.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely one of those, I know it's very awkward and you're putting yourself out there to either connect with people or ask them for virtual coffee, but people love to talk about themselves, whether they admit it or not. And so when you ask them like, hey, let's have like a 15-minute call, I'd love to learn about your experience with the company. I mean, one, it just makes their day, even if they don't have the time, like it's so heartwarming and you're like, wow, like you thought of me. And so it's very like, you know, amazing to have that. And then, like I said, they love talking about themselves. Sometimes that 15-minute call goes into 30 minutes. And then you're making a connection as well. I've had so many people where I've had a virtual coffee and I realize that I'm not a perfect fit for the role or vice versa, like, or the company, but we've still maintained like a friendship of sorts. And that's also very important with the world as it is right now, you know, being able to connect and interact with people. So I definitely think if you're uncomfortable, definitely like step out of your comfort zone. You never know where that connection is going to lead.
I would agree. I mean, and if they leave the company, you've still got that connection somewhere else. So that's a plus as well. Yeah, I would say to anyone who is nervous about approaching someone or speaking to someone, once you start talking to that person, you'll become at ease, because I understand it can be very anxious for someone to talk to someone you've never met before. So I appreciate that. So definitely get the conversation going, then you'll get more comfortable.
Yes. Yeah. I always, too, if it's somebody that I really admire, someone in, you know, really high up in the tech world, I always like try to send them like a little message of like, oh, hey, I really love that tutorial you did. Thank you so much for taking the time to do that. And even if it doesn't go anywhere, I just definitely want to tell them how much I appreciate it. And so that helped me be more confident in asking, you know, for the calls, was, you know, sending that out. And, you know, sometimes they don't respond because they've got so many more followers, but that really helped me like kind of like ease into it.
There are some people with a crazy amount of followers out there, but how would you describe the tech community on Twitter in general?
Oh, it is absolutely amazing. So I didn't use Twitter before learning how to code, and my husband really encouraged me to use it. And so I was like, fine, I'll use it. I was trying to do no social media at that point, but everyone was so nice. So I started posting with the 100 days of code and, you know, under the hashtag code newbie. And it started as like, oh, I'm going to tell people what I've learned. And then I started having specific questions about different libraries and technologies. And where I found where I was like, this is amazing, was I tweeted at Kent C. Dodds and I said, hey, what's the difference between props and state in React? And not only did he respond to me, but he created a blog post. It was like, hey, Daisy, thank you for, you know, pointing this out that people might not know the difference. This really inspired me to make a blog post. And so if you don't know Kent Dodds, he has a lot of great like React tutorials. He created a really great course called Epic React. He's also the creator of React Testing Library. And so after that interaction, I was like, wow, I need to start, you know, asking people more questions. And
what a result.
And really, yeah, and it really showcasing my projects. And that is how I got my first job, was through Twitter, actually. I was posting about my projects. I, you know, really try to post once a week if I could. And I did a lot of, you know, if I tried a new library and I loved it, I would make a tweet that talked about why I liked it. I'm actually, one of the tweets that I wrote was about Tailwind CSS, and they reached out to me and asked if they could use it on their testimonial page. So now my tweet is listed on Tailwind's testimonial page. So you never know. I mean, it's great, and you'll be able to meet so many more people. I've joined a group called Virtual Coffee that we meet once a month. So being able to like use Twitter has, I just had no idea it would lead to all of this, me getting my first job and then making all these connections. So yeah, the whole tech Twitter is great. And if you don't have Twitter, I highly recommend using it.
Absolutely. Is the Virtual Coffee, is that on Discord or is that a meetup thing?
So they do have a Slack group. So how it works is you can go to a Virtual Coffee site. I can search for that, what that is. But they have meetings, I think it's once a month, and it's through Zoom. And we break out into breakout groups and really talk about, you know, just different things in tech. Like one of them last month was, is a company ethical or not ethical? So it's not just like, oh, what's the best tech to use? It's some really intense questions. They have a really great code of conduct and they really stand behind it. They also are doing a lot of, well, it's not October anymore, but they were doing a lot of things for Hacktoberfest. But once you visit one of the Zoom calls, you'll then be able to join their Slack channel. And their Slack channel has so many great resources for if you're looking for a new job or if you have questions about a new technology. There's people ranging from newbies all the way to like 10 plus years of engineering experience. I do have that website. It's virtualcoffee.io.
I'll pop that in the link as well for people to check that out. Yeah. So Daisy, we've come to the end of the show. Can you believe it? That's flown by.
Oh, I can't. This has been so much fun.
I'm glad you've enjoyed it. I've got one final question of the show. Here we go. I don't know why I prepared myself up like for that. It's not a massive question. It's not a life-changing question. Maybe it is. I don't know. What's the one thing in code you wish you'd done sooner?
Yeah, absolutely. I wish I learned more about accessibility sooner. If anybody follows me on Twitter, you know, I'm very passionate about accessibility. Or if you've worked with me in the past, you know, I'm very passionate about it. But that's something I wish I learned sooner, because my current projects, personal projects, are not accessible. And that's something that I'm really embarrassed about, but that's something I'm going to improve on. But accessibility is, you know, really helpful, not only for people with disabilities, but people for situational or limitations. You know, for instance, if you need reading glasses and you forget them, making your website accessible helps people like that. But I was diagnosed with epilepsy at 16. And so even though it's not hindered me from using the web, I definitely can understand how people can, you know, feel deflated if they can't use certain things. And so I think with my experience and my passion now, I, you know, highly regret not looking into it sooner.
How do people view websites with a screen reader? Like, I've never done it before. I've never had to look at one before.
Yeah. So those assistive technologies, there's several ways, but yeah, one of the screen readers, it'll like read through the contents of the page. So if you have a Mac, I definitely know that you can go to your accessibility like system preferences and open up your screen reader, or you can install one. Like Chrome extension has some screen readers, but what it'll do is, you know, it can read through the text, but it'll also like tell you where you are on your page. So think of that nav bar. This is why it's super important to use semantic HTML, because it'll tell you kind of where you are on the page. So you know, using role as nav bar, role footer, or role as dialogue. And so they know where they're interacting, making sure all of your forms are wrapped in a form element so they know that they're in a form. But yeah, I mean, it'll tell them if they're in an input, what that input is for, what that input, you know, is going to do, what's required, things like that. So there's some really great tutorials on how to use this, you know, kind of, you know, the system technologies. And it's definitely one that's really daunting when you first start out, but take it slowly, do one thing at a time. I didn't quote this, but someone has said this about accessibility before. It's a sprint, or it's a marathon, not a sprint. So it's definitely going to be something that is going to be slow to start and to learn, but it's so rewarding doing that, though.
That's something I need to look at, because I've focused on responsive layouts, but I haven't really focused on accessibility. So yeah, I definitely need to give that a look. Daisy, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me. It's been amazing to have you on the show. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You can find out more about Daisy by clicking on the links in the bio. That's going to do it for this one. See you again in a galaxy far, far away for more Code Words.
Enjoyed this episode? Don't forget to rate, share, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Code Words. See tech differently.